We gather this morning on the first Sunday in Advent, basking in the presence of the hope of Jesus Christ our Savior. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in this Lord's house this first Sunday in the season of Advent. This Sunday is often called the Sunday of Hope, and we hope that you'll experience the hope that is found in Christ this morning during our time of worship service this day. If you're a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Take a moment and fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate as you leave the worship service later on this morning. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online today. If you're a first-time watcher, thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll send me an email this week and so we can connect and follow up on our worship experience this day. If you are watching us online, I encourage you also to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource for today's worship service, but also the ministries coming up in the life of our church. We have many things coming up in the life of our church during the season of Advent. Many of those things you'll see there printed in your bulletin this morning. This afternoon, we have a busy afternoon, starting with immediately following the worship service today. Our choir will be practicing and preparing for the Christmas cantata that will take place next Sunday. You'll hear more about that from Gay a little bit later on as our ministry highlight. But today, immediately following the worship service, our choir will be practicing. We're also asking if you have a sturdy back, if you would hang around right after worship today, help us move some pulpit furniture. We want to get things ready in preparation for the service next Sunday morning. Also this afternoon, the children of our church will be going to a movie today at 2:30 p.m. Our adult Bible study this afternoon will be taking place at 4 o'clock, not 5 o'clock today, but 4 o'clock. We continue our study called An Unlikely Advent. That'll be at 4 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall. Today we'll be looking at the villain in the Advent story. We'll be looking at King Herod. So join me in person tonight at 4 o'clock, or you can watch us online at on Facebook Live at 4 o'clock as well. Tonight, our youth will be having our Christmas party at my house at 5:30. So a busy afternoon for all ages for our church family. Looking ahead to this week, Tuesday, our Fun and Fellowship group, our senior adults, will be heading to Bear Creek, our annual trip to the Fruitcake Factory. If you want to go, you need to sign up. There are a few extra seats on the bus, but if you haven't signed up to go, you need to let Gay know today. So make sure you sign up. Also, if you can't go, I am sure you can place an order with Gay or somebody else to pick up a fruitcake for you. Now, I will tell you, I am not a big fruitcake fan, so I don't know why you would do that, but some of you love the taste of fruitcake, so if you do want to get a fruitcake, place your order with Gay. They'll be going on Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon, our ministry will be going to Golden Years Senior Center to do our bingo ministry and our birthday party that we do over there. And 2 weeks from this Tuesday, we'll be going over there as well and singing Christmas carols. So we're hoping we'll add a few extras that'll go in 2 weeks for that time of ministry. Choir will be practicing Wednesday night, and then other things that are going on during the season. Of course, Christmas cards are an important part of this season. Many of you fill out Christmas cards, you send them out to our church family. One way that you can do that every single Christmas year is we have Christmas boxes for all our church families. They're located upstairs in the fellowship hall. You can save postage by simply placing the Christmas cards for your church family members upstairs in those boxes. I encourage you to go by and check your boxes because I guarantee there's at least one card in there for you for Christmas. Also, what we're encouraging you to do, the money that you save on postage that you would normally buy for the stamps, we encourage you to donate that back. I encourage you to donate that back specifically to our CBF Global Missions offering that we'll be collecting in 2 weeks. So Christmas cards are an important part of the season. It livens up our family houses, it livens up our family time, but allow this to be also a way we can help missions at the same time. As many of you walked in, you saw our foyer was overflowing with Salvation Army gifts for the angel tree. For those that picked off angels from the tree itself, thank you for bringing those gifts back. If you have not brought those back for those angels, make sure you get those back to us early this week. Also, we're collecting items for the forgotten angels. Many of those items have been brought and placed under the tree up front. Now, I will tell you, it's not too late. If you said, oh, I forgot to pick up something this week, I still want to do that. These items will not be taken to the Salvation Army until this coming Saturday. So if you have time this week to pick something else up and you would like to do so, pick it up this week and drop it by the church office and we'll make sure they get those items delivered. These items are for the forgotten angels, those individuals that sometimes get overlooked when it comes to the angel tree items. We also are collecting those $40 gift cards for the Walmart for the senior adults. If you purchase those items, they can be placed on the table outside. If you still have items in your hand for the forgotten angels later on in the worship service, as we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you're welcome to bring those forward and place them under the Christmas tree. Two other quick updates. Next Sunday, mark your calendar. We have our Elon Roundtable meeting at 4 o'clock. This is an important meeting. We will be voting on our 2024 budget for the calendar year. So please make sure you're planning to be there for this meeting. You'll also hear a proposal coming for building and grounds about our roof. That's something that needs to be repaired. So be plan on coming to our meeting next Sunday at 4 o'clock. And then last but not least, last week I gave you an update on our church directory, the one we've been putting together for all year. And it's almost like I mentioned it, and then y'all lifted a lot of prayers between last Sunday and Wednesday afternoon, because Wednesday afternoon I got a lovely text from my wife, and she just sent me a picture, and the picture was of the directory that was in the mail that had come to my house. So we have turned that directory around. 5 different people looked at it, went through it, made all the changes that need to be made, and it got mailed back to them on Friday. So we're pretty much guaranteed that the 2023 directory, it will be 2023, that we will get it back before the year is over. So that is an answer to prayers. It will be coming. It may not be before Christmas. It may be that week before Christmas and New Year's, but we will be getting the directory before the new year is out. So that is an answer to prayer. So we look forward to getting it in hand this December. Let's lift praise to the one this season is all about. Let's sing praise to God this morning.
This is probably my most favorite time of year because I love to sing Christmas carols. So we're going to sing a lot of them through the month. Let's stand and let's worship together as we sing "We Angels We've Heard on High."
One other announcement. I don't know. I had it up here, and I wanted to show it to you. We finally got our 75th anniversary wooden carvings of our church. And many of you placed orders for these. I will let you know they will be ready to pick up next Sunday. But I did want to show you what it looks like. It's beautiful. A great creation, a great way to remember 75 years of ministry here at First Baptist. Now, I also show this as a tease because we ordered beyond what the orders were placed. So if you did not place an order and would like to purchase one, you can see me after worship or see Gay. We'll write your name down and you'll be able to pick those up next Sunday. So it was a great turnout. We'll thank Sally Farnham, who is under the weather today, but she's the one who made this happen. So thank you, Sally, for that. But again, they'll be ready to pick up next Sunday morning. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, reading Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Listen to these words of the prophet. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remembers your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. Like potter, like the clay in the hands of the potter, we are his people. And we gather here this day with that proclamation. Let us pray this morning. God of hope, we come to you in the midst of a world fraught with troubles. Although the darkness is powerful, open our eyes, Lord, to the light of your presence. Give us faith to stand against the voice of division and violence that may be echoing in our minds and our hearts. Through your Spirit, remake us into hope-filled disciples, discovering lives among attuned to your wonder and sparking in others a desire to know you more. In the name of the one who comes to us this Advent season, Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Let's stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Reading that will be found on the screen behind us.
Advent is a time to be filled with anticipation and hope.
We wait and hope for one who will. bring light to the darkness.
Advent is a time to remember that God's love extends to all people.
We wait and hope for the one who will bring justice.
Advent is a time to renew our determination.
We wait and hope for the one who will bring righteousness.
Advent is a time to strive for understanding.
We wait and hope for the one who will bring peace.
Today we light the first candle, the candle of hope, marking the beginning of our spiritual journey this Advent season. The light of this candle reminds us that hope begins with a spark that at first seems small and insignificant, but in time grows into a brilliant flame, a flame that quickly spreads, filling the darkness with light and bringing a renewed sense of hope to a world filled with doubt and fear.
Please bow in prayer with me. Gracious God, we thank you for the promise of the scripture that through Christ we have hope. Forgive our lack of faith and restore in our hearts the assurance that your love can conquer the tyranny of injustice in a broken world. We pray today that you would strengthen our faith in your mercy and righteousness so we can live in hope every day of our lives. Amen.
Our offertory carol this morning is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand and worship together. Sunday is bring a coat because it will be cooler in here next Sunday. We will die if it's not cool. I am about to sweat to death now, so, and I can just can't imagine how they feel because they're under more lights than I am. But next Sunday at 11 o'clock on December the 10th, the choir and handbells will give a cantata. And this year, it's telling the story of each character. We start out with the shepherd's story, then we go into the angel's story, then we go into the wise men's story, and then Mary's story, and then we end with your story. So you won't want to miss this. The narration is just absolutely beautiful, and I think it'll touch your lives. So mark your calendar, bring lots of friends. We'd like to have it full out here. It makes us sing better when the congregation is full. So thank y'all in advance, and be in prayer for us as we prepare this week. We have several sick and that will stay well. But that's it. Now, David will bring the offertory prayer.
Next Sunday will be a special Sunday, and it's one you will not want to miss. I encourage you, as Gay said, invite your friends, invite your family members. This is a special time in our season of Advent. It will be a service that you will not want to miss. 11 o'clock next Sunday morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a time of offertory. Oh God, you have enriched us in every way through our faith in Christ Jesus. You have granted us grace and blessed us with every spiritual gift. In gratitude for your many blessings this day, we offer our tithes and our offerings. Enrich and bless these gifts that they may go into the world and help build your kingdom here in our neighborhoods and across this world. Take also the gifts that we bring to you this day for the Salvation Army to touch the families in our community. May they experience the hope that is found in you this Christmas season. Amen.
Watch shepherds, watch their flocks by night.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. That's just a little bit of taste of what will be a full worship service next Sunday morning. I hope you'll come out and join us for our cantata next Sunday. If you would, join with me in a word of prayer this morning. Holy God, in this season, suspended between hope and fulfillment, may we never forget what you have done. May we be overwhelmed by your mercy, which flows in wave after wave. May we be honest about the darkness within us and perceptive of the light that is around us. May we make straight the path for the Lord, that together we may see God's glory revealed. In Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen.
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
First, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship this Advent season. And then let me say, how many did you think you were going to watch some Peanuts this morning before at the beginning of our sermon today? A few of you had a clue from a meeting earlier this week, but considered one of the iconic moments in all of the Christmas classics that are on TV this year. I think sometimes we feel like Charlie Brown this season. We get sometimes lost in the midst of what Christmas is all about. Isn't that hard to do? It really isn't. Presents that we have to buy, cookies we have to make, decorations that we have to put up. And with all this activity that this season brings, it is easy to lose focus. It's easy to lose perspective. And it is very easy to miss out on what this season is all about. Now, there are many good things that take place during this season from a human perspective. It is wonderful that families get together during the Advent season during Christmas. That is great. People are giving to one another. That is a wonderful thing during the season of Christmas. Friends and co-workers gather together outside the office. That is a wonderful thing that happens these times. These things are not bad at all. But when so much time is taken up with pondering what to get, or preparing what to make, or purchasing the things that you will give, we can become overwhelmed. We can become stressed out, and we can become unfocused. And that is when we lose our sense of what this season is all about. And we lose the awe of what Christmas is. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus. That's what this season is all about. And just that simple statement alone should bring us to awe. It is a celebration of the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and the love he showed by leaving heaven to be born on earth to live and die for us. That should bring us awe. But let's face it, sometimes Christmas doesn't bring us awe. We should be at awe at how much God loves us and how he demonstrated his love for us. To help capture and maybe recapture the meaning of the season, this Advent I'll be preaching a sermon series that's titled The Faces of Christmas. We're going to be examining some of the faces of those that were at the first Christmas and seek to learn some ways that we may respond to the birth of the Savior this Christmas that will help us recapture what this season is supposed to be about. This first Sunday in Advent, this season, this day, as we think about the season and this Sunday of hope, we look into the face of awe as we examine the shepherd's response to the angel's news about the birth of Christ, so we might hopefully recapture that sense of awe that will cause us to respond just like the shepherds did. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The Gospel of Luke is my favorite gospel. I've told you that many, many times before. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me. We're going to read the account that Linus just read. He didn't read it, he quoted it. I wish I could quote it. I don't have the memory to do that these days. But he stood there and quoted the meaning of what the season is all about. Let's read this familiar passage. And it is my hope that as we read it, we'll think about what this passage means for me. Think about what it meant for the shepherds out in the field, but think about how these words speak to you this Advent season. Starting with verse 8, reading through verse 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, I know that many of us have heard this story before. We've heard it countless times. But let's look maybe a little bit deeper and see what exactly from this passage that we can be awed about. The first thing that we should be awed about is this. The good news that the shepherds received is for everyone. Absolutely everybody. It wasn't just for the shepherds that night. It wasn't just for the elite of the elite. It was for everyone. Notice what the angel said to them in verse 10. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All. Everyone. All. There's no one excluded there. It's for everyone. I know we know this from an intellectual position, but I really want you to consider this for a moment. The shepherds were awed by what they had heard from the angels. Why? Some will even say they should have been awed. They were truly in need of salvation. Now, we don't know the shepherds by name. Some throughout history have given the shepherds names. We don't know them by name. But what we do know just in generality about shepherds of that day is that the shepherds were not the clean-cut type. They were the type of people that you kept on the outside of the city, not on the inside of the city. They were looked down upon by society. They were viewed kind of like we might view a homeless person or some wandering con person of today. Some were even known to be thieves. They made their money however they could get, whether it meant cutting somebody off or making money by hurting someone else. This news was good news for them because everything else in the world had turned against them. But the angels that night had said something to them and said, you know what? You know what? The good news is for you. The good news is for you. They knew they had been given a gift that they had not expected. And they definitely thought to themselves that they did not deserve. Now, I said something a minute ago. I said it just to rile some feathers. Because I made some statements about some individuals that we thought, well, I don't look at people that way. I don't look at a homeless person that way. I don't look at a con person that way. Let's be honest. Are we inviting a homeless person to our Thanksgiving meal? Are we inviting that con person into our home for Christmas dinner? You see, we all do it. We don't want to admit it. We all do it. We like to categorize people. We like to categorize people as bad or good. We may not say it. We may not say it with the words that come out of our mouths. Oh, but we do it. We do it. It may be the way we look at individuals. It may be the way that we talk about individuals with the closest of our friends. And maybe it's how we label ourselves. Maybe we put ourselves in that category of being bad. And we think to ourselves, well, Christ definitely didn't come to save me. Jesus Christ didn't come for me. How would he even do that? Because of knowing what the things that I do, the things that I've said, how in the world would he come for me? These are the thoughts the shepherds had in the field that night. These are the thoughts they had. But he didn't just come for the shepherds. He came for the people in the city too. The not so bad people. The way we would like to clarify and classify ourselves. According to the world, the comparison of the people that are pretty good in a sense. I do my part. I deserve that. You know, Jesus came to save me. Yeah, I deserve it. We all are sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. Sinner is not the first word that comes to our minds when we think of ourselves, but we all are. Shepherd, businessman, preacher, alike. And that's why we are awed by this story. It's because when Jesus Christ came, he came for everyone, absolutely everyone. There was no, oh, you have to do this, or you have to do this. No, he came for everyone. Remember the story about Simon the Pharisee who invited Jesus into his home? Invited Jesus in and opened up his table, and then there was this woman who was a sinner, as Simon would point out, and was looked down upon by society. She came in, poured a bottle of perfume on Jesus' feet with her own tears and her hair, wiped his feet, and Simon's like, "Well, Jesus, why are you letting this woman who is of sin do this to you?" And Jesus said, "This woman has shown me more hospitality than the person who has let me into his home." Why is that story so powerful? It's because sometimes it's the individual who seems they have fallen by the wayside and left by society. This is the shepherd story, that they are so amazed and in awe that Jesus would come to save them that they understand how awesome that is. But those that are not so bad, that's why the awe goes away so quickly, is, "Oh, but I'm a good person, so I only need a little bit of saving. Just a little bit. I don't need the full thing, just a little bit." That's the first thing we've got to remember, is that the good news is for everyone, and we are all fallen short of the glory of God. And the shepherds knew that. We are all sinners. We need a Savior. We need to recognize our own sin and recognize the need and be awed by the fact that the Lord has loved you enough to provide that for you. You and me alike. That's the first thing we should be awed like the shepherds were. We've been given a gift so great that we don't deserve it. But it doesn't stop there. The second thing that we should be awed by is this. The shepherds heard this message. They recognized their need. They were awed by it. And what did they do? The good news drew them to Jesus. Look what the shepherds did after they heard the news. They immediately said to each other, "Hey, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They went. It wasn't like they didn't have something else that they needed to do. They were doing their job. In the middle of their job, they just dropped it all and said, "Let's go." They had to keep watch over that flock by night so the predators didn't come and eat their flock. If they ate the flock, guess what? They didn't have any money. But they left anyway. They had things that needed to be done, but they were moved by the good news so much that the angels were announced and they went to go see Jesus. They responded to what they had heard. Do we respond to what we hear this season? Do we respond to it? We just sang three of the most beautiful Christmas carols that we'll ever sing, and we got it in our rote memory. Most of us can sing them without even looking at the worship screens. I have to glance every once in a while. I have a bad memory. But we sing them, but do we really think about what we just sang? My homework assignment for you today is this. Go back to those carols and think about what you just sang today. Because the message is there. The message there says this: the good news has been proclaimed, and go do something about it. It's not just to sing them to make us feel good. I feel good. I sang three Christmas carols today. Did my part. Yes, Sunday was great. That's not what worship is. That's not what Advent is. We may be awed by the love God has shown us as we recognize our need, but we need to respond to that need by coming to Christ and receiving Him as our Savior. The Bible clearly tells us that we need to receive the gift by believing with what is called a heart belief. A heart belief is not something that stays inside of you. It affects you. It affects what you do. It affects what you say. It affects how you interact with other people. When we recognize our need, we need to confess the belief of who Christ is and what He has done for us. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it all starts by recognizing who Jesus is. He is Lord. That he is God who put on flesh and was born into this world in a manger. And that he was born into a manger to die. That was the beginning of his trip to the cross. He died for you, for your sins. He died for me and my sins. He died to pay the price that you can never pay, no matter how good you can try to be, no matter how many gifts that you bring in. He died for you. You can't earn it. He paid for it already. We fall short. We fall very short. But there is good news today. That type of love that was shown should draw you to want to be with him and closer to him. That's the story of the shepherds. That's why they were awed. They were like, this message is incredible. We've got to get closer to this. It changes our life. The shepherds responded by going. We should too. If you've never received Jesus and this holiday time of year stresses you out, maybe you just need to do exactly what the shepherds did. They hit pause on their life. They hit pause on their job. They pushed the pause button and they just said, I got to go to see Jesus. I got to come closer to him and see what this is all about. Experience the awe like the shepherds. Or maybe you were here today and you've received Christ and have experienced that awe before, but lately you've just been caught off guard in the doings and all this season and just you've lost that sense of awe. How do you get it back? You need to do what the shepherds did. They realized just how good this good news was, and they just knew they had to do something with it. Don't just sit on it. Do something with it, which brings us to the third point. That brings us to the third thing that we could be in awe about. The good news of Christ is that it's good enough to share. Look what the shepherds did in verses 17 through 20. After seeing Jesus, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about him. All that they were told, they were amazed by. The shepherds then returned to the fields, glorifying and praising God for the awe-filled night that they had experienced. Now, the word here in that passage for amazed is the Greek word ekthaumos. It's E-K-T-H-A-U-M-A-S-O. I know nobody's writing that down, but that's okay. The definition of that word is what is so powerful. The word literally means in English to marvel at, to wonder at, to strike with astonishment. The shepherds were struck with astonishment when they experienced Jesus in the manger. And when they went back out, that's how they acted. When was the last time you were struck with astonishment? When was the last time you were struck with astonishment by something God did? You may have to dive in your memory a little bit, right? My prayer is that every time you enter these doors and you come on a Sunday morning, that the music, that the scripture reading, that the prayers, that maybe even the sermon strikes you with an astonishment in a way that you experience God in a new way. Because guess what? God's here and you're coming to see him. You're not just coming to see your friends. Because trust me, if you're coming to see God on a Sunday morning in this place, you will be struck with astonishment. And if you're not, maybe you're not bringing the right expectation to worship. Yes, your pastor just said that. And yes, I know I'm getting my bonus next Sunday morning. but I'm willing to give it up if it means that you're going to experience God in a new way this Advent season. That's what the shepherds experienced that night, and that's what you can experience anytime you come in the presence of God. And it doesn't just happen on Sunday morning. It can happen every single day that you come into the presence of God. That's the power of the story. That's why it's so awe-inspiring. And they didn't stop there at the manger. They kept experiencing the awe of Christmas the rest of that evening. And who knows how many days we are. The story left the shepherds, but the shepherds didn't leave the story behind. They kept worshiping. They continued to glorify and praise God. And I think maybe that's part of our problem. We do not share that incredible news with others like the shepherds did, and it affects our own ability to continue in awe at what Christmas is all about. So I encourage you this Advent season, this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the good news like the shepherds did with your voices, with your actions, with everything that you have. As you gather with your family and friends over the next couple weeks, the multiple times that you will do it, I can guarantee that there is somebody in that gathering that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Share the message and the awe-inspiring story of what it's about. And you might say, oh, everybody in my family knows who Christ Jesus is. Well, that's great, but I can guarantee there's somebody in that gathering who may have swayed away or is struggling with something in the presence of God. Share that with them. Because who knows what story, what word might engage them, re-engage them with their walk with the Lord. It is needed. Allow this church to be that opportunity. Say, hey, guess what? Next Sunday morning, December 10th, come with me to church. We're having a great cantata. We're going to want to fill the pews. The choir's going to sing great Christmas songs. You know all the songs. Come with me. Come sit with me. Oh, yeah, I sit in the choir. No, don't sit with me up here in the choir. You can sit in the pew. Make sure you're looking at me. Invite them. Invite a friend. Invite a coworker. Invite them to Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve communion service at 5 p.m. on December 24th. It's always a special service. It can set the mood for that awe-inspiring invitation. Another way to share the good news is through giving. This morning we've gathered numerous gifts for the Salvation Army. Each of these items has been gathered with love to help touch the lives of families and individuals in our community this Christmas season. Maybe you forgot to bring an item. That's okay. If you did, pick an item up earlier this week. Drop it off. They're not being delivered. I checked with Kramer. They're not being delivered till Saturday. Right, Kramer? Saturday is when all these items are going to be loaded up and taken to the Salvation Army. If you get it here before Saturday, it will go with them. I will guarantee. Office will be open Monday through Thursday this week. You can bring them by anytime. If you don't get your item till Friday, call me. Everybody has my cell phone in this church. You call me. I will guarantee it gets with these items. Bring an item. If you've already bought an item, you may think, I want to get another item. Get another item. We'll place it with these items for the Salvation Army. Another way that you can give is through the CBF Global Missions Offering. On Sunday, December 17th, two Sundays from today, we will have our official in-gathering for CBF Global Missions. Our goal this year is to raise $1,500 to help support missionaries and missions around the world. Prayerfully consider giving to this offering that helps make the difference. Global Missions Offering envelopes are in the vestibule as you leave this morning. You can pick one of those up. You can bring it next Sunday if you want to, and it will go to that missions offering. Those envelopes are also located in your tithing boxes. They're put in at the beginning of the year. If not CBF, it's okay. I encourage you to give to an organization that helps make a difference in this world. The Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, Habitat for Humanity, Living Water International, and the list goes on and on and on. There are organizations that you can give to help make a difference. Many of our Sunday school classes have adopted missions opportunities this season. Help with one of them. If you're not involved with the Sunday school class, talk to me. I'll get you involved with one of those groups. They would love to have your assistance. Our food pantry is always in need of food, especially this time of year. It always goes empty this time because we have families that come by and need food. If you want to know what we have need in our food pantry, I shared with an individual this morning what we collect there. I will will share with you what we collect there as well. There's so many ways that you can give during this time of year to make a difference. That's what the shepherds did. They didn't just stop and sing and proclaim. They gave of themselves to others. Continue to be in awe of how Jesus Christ gave for you. In closing, I ask the simple question of you this morning. Are you in awe of Jesus Christ this year? If not, take a careful look at the shepherds who were just minding their business out in the fields that fateful night. Once the good news was heard, their awe helped them realize that the good news is for everyone, that it drew them to Jesus Christ, and that the message was so awesome that they could not help but share it with anybody and everyone that would listen. Just like Charlie Brown said at the beginning of our service today, sometimes we get lost. Sometimes things change. His perception of Christmas was changed when Linus proclaimed the message of the shepherds, and all of a sudden that little tree, that twig of a tree, looked different to Charlie Brown. Who knows whose Advent and Christmas season will look different when you proclaim the message of the shepherds this Advent season? You never know. Somebody's ready to hear it. May we have that same face of awe that the shepherds had this season of Advent. Let's pray. Father, thank you for shepherds out in the field who put pause on their life to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ after they stood in your presence and realized their lives had been changed forever. Not just their lives, but the entire world, and they wanted everybody to know about it. And they gave of themselves. May we model that same awe this Advent season. Not just today, not just on this Sunday of hope, but every single day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn this morning, if you do not know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if this is the first time that you recognize in awe of what Jesus Christ did for you, I'll be down front. Let's talk about it, what it means to give your life to Him for eternity. If today you're looking for a church family that seeks to minister out of that awe, First Baptist can be that home for you. Or if you're just going through a difficult time, maybe you're struggling with that awe, let me pray for you. Altar's always open as well. You can pray up here. I'll pray with you. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
we go out into a world that needs that awe. Be that bearer of it, just as the shepherds were. When the message was heard, they proclaimed it with everything they had. Do the same as you leave today. And I encourage you to come back next Sunday, because you will be in awe next Sunday morning as well. Go in peace.
We need help moving the platform. Guys, I'm gonna move this. In here. Ron, get some guys. I don't know. Hey, Kathy.